all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. We want to thank our national sponsors, NVBDC.org. That's the National Veteran Business Development Council, the leading veteran-owned business certification organization developed by veterans for veterans. Find them at NVBDC.org or call 888-CERTIFIED. And also Legal Help for Veterans, a veterans disability law firm nationwide. You can call them at 800-693-4800 or find them on the web at LegalHelpForVeterans.com. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Colonel Vanessa Benson, retired from the U.S. Army, who is the Ford Military Ambassador. Colonel, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hey, great. Great to be on Veterans Radio and talking with you, Jim.
Well, this is, being the Ford Military Ambassador, we're talking Ford Motor Company, and the Ford dealers nationwide have a program that they're implementing. And we have you on, Colonel Benson, to talk a little bit about that. Tell us about this program.
Well, I've been fortunate to help Ford build out this program. And last Veterans Day and November of 2019, Ford launched Proud to Honor Initiative. And it's about raising awareness and raising awareness, strengthening existing programs, and creating a more meaningful connection with our service members. So that was our whole goal with this Proud to Honor program last November when we kicked it off.
Well, you've got an exciting program here for 2020, which is amazing because we're in a goofy year. So it's
absolutely. So when we kicked it off, our plan was to go to our first kickoff was going to be a huge air show in Tampa, and then COVID hit, and, you know, our whole plans of doing drive and ride experiences at 5 to 7 military bases kind of ended real quickly when we had to social distance. So we quickly switched gears with our Proud to Honor program, as well as when Ford did from manufacturing, you know, vehicles to making PPE, we quickly thought, you know, what a great idea it would be to see if we could donate some of the PPE to our military. And so that's where I got involved with the Department of Defense, working to see about allowing our military to receive a donation from Ford of our face shields. So it was exciting times. It's never easy to give a donation to the military. However, by the end of May, we ended up donating 200,000 face shields to our military.
Well, it's a good example of how nimble our manufacturers can be, and really how responsible our corporate community is, and Ford Motor Company is, not to say, well, it's been a tough year, we're going to scrap Proud to Honor this year, but instead you've found a way to go forward with it here in the last month or two of 2020. Tell us about the program.
So Proud to Honor, again, you know, it was about a way of giving back to our military and strengthening our bonds. So we, you know, have adjusted gears a little bit after we made the huge donation of face shields. You know, we regrouped and, you know, working with COVID, we decided that we were going to launch a Proud to Honor storefront. So we came up with some really cool merchandise as a way to gear up and give back. So in September of this year, we opened up that storefront, Proud to Honor. It's on FordProudToHonor.com. And we picked two charities that we were going to give 100% of the profits to. And so we picked Blue Star Families and Disabled American Veterans. So we launched the storefront in September with some really, really cool Ford Proud to Honor merchandise. And, you know, that launched in September. And we recently, this week, added some more items for Veterans Day on it, merchandise and apparel. All say Proud to Honor, really cool items that I think your listeners would love purchasing and knowing that the profits are going to two great charities.
Well, that storefront idea is, you know, it really ties into this idea that, well, we may be shut down and maybe we can't visit, but we can shop e-commerce wise and reach this material, these products, and support a good cause. But you're doing even more than that here with a Ford Motor Company and Ford dealers nationwide with a donation program that's set up. So go ahead and explain that, how that's going to run through December 31st.
Absolutely. So this week, Ford announced that as part of our expanding our Proud to Honor program, our Ford dealers and Ford Motor Company, they're going to stepping it up and support our military heroes by donating $3.5 million to military charities. And we've picked seven military charities that we're going to split that $3.5 million to. And the way we're going to do it is we're asking for everyone to share a post on social media using the hashtag Proud to Honor on someone that you're proud to honor from the military. And then Ford will donate $100 on behalf of you to these seven charities.
This couldn't be simpler. I mean,
I know.
I want our veteran radio listeners to use up all of Ford's money here, Colonel Benson, and you do
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's 18.8 million veterans out there. So I know someone knows a veteran or someone in the military that they want a hashtag Proud to Honor.
And tell us who these charities are that are going to receive this $3.5 million that Ford and Ford dealerships are going to contribute, because I'm positive we're going to eat up all that money.
I am too. So we picked seven charities. And they are the Blue Star Families, the Guitars for Vets, Disabled American Veterans, known as DAV, Workshop for Warriors, Oscar Mike, Bunker Labs, and Boulder Crest Foundation. So these seven charities will equally get the money that we raised using the hashtag Proud to Honor. And this program is going to run through December 31st of this year.
Well, we on Veterans Radio have interviewed a number of representatives from these charities. They're all great charities, so folks can be comfortable that Ford has vetted them and that the money's going to places where it's really going to help veterans. But explain again, what do I have to do on my social media account to claim that $100 and make sure the donation is given over to one of these charities?
It's as simple as using the hashtag #ProudToHonor. Again, it's hashtag Proud to Honor, and just reflect on someone that you're proud of in the military or veteran. You can post a picture of them. You could just talk about them. Just simply use the hashtag Proud to Honor, and Ford will donate $100 on your behalf to be split amongst the seven Ford Proud to Honor charities.
Well, we certainly reach not only across the nation, but we have a concentration of reaching folks here in the Metro Detroit area. We're Ford country, so we're going to work hard to help you reach your goal here on hashtag Proud to Honor.
Absolutely, and you know we had kicked it off this Sunday. Ford Motor Company is collaborating with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so we're going to have a Ford Proud to Honor Hall of Heroes in the Hall of Fame. So this is exciting. And just on Sunday, we kicked this off with Hall of Famer quarterback Jim Kelly. And he surprised our first inductee, who happens to be the lady that was the founder for Blue Star Families. And she has raised $80 million for Blue Star Families. So Jim Kelly surprised her, pulled up in an F-150, and she will be our first inductee into the Ford Proud to Honor Hall of Heroes at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Well, I think sometimes it's easy to forget how many corporate citizens like Ford really go out of their way to honor, recognize, support our veterans. This is, you know, done in part because Ford Motor Company has a large veteran workforce, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We have 6,000 and we have many more across all of our 3,000 plus dealers. And, you know, what's exciting is I got to help Ford Motor Company in my role of recruiting military a few years ago, working with all the dealers to be named Best for Vet Employer by Military Times. So our dealers have been a Best for Vet Employer since 2019. And again, in 2020, they were nominated to be a Best for Vet Employer. And that's a Military Times list that's published every year and very important for our veterans when you're looking for a place to find employment at. So Ford Motor Company and our dealers are on that list.
Well, get out there, veterans, support this effort. Feel free to buy a Ford F-150 if you're in the market.
And it's a great way to honor our heroes with what you wear. And our Proud to Honor store, there's so many neat items that we have come up with. And knowing that all the proceeds go to Blue Star Families and Disabled American Veterans. And I love everything that's on that storefront.
And give us that website again so folks can get there,
Colonel. So everything we're talking about right now, Jim, is on FordProudToHonor.com. So that's where you'll see the storefront. You'll see how to win the truck that we're giving away with Luke Combs and two tickets to his concert, a new F-150. You'll see our 7 charities are on there. And you'll see more about us and how to give, do the hashtag Proud to Honor right there at FordProudToHonor.com.
Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us, Colonel Benson, to put a spotlight on FordProudToHonor.com and all the things that are going there. However, I want to switch gears on you.
Okay.
I want to find out, Colonel Benson, after you spent 23 years in the Army, and I believe you grew up in Florida. How did a nice Florida girl like you end up in the Army?
Well, actually, the exciting thing is I am a third generation colonel, and my grandfather was actually, he went to Virginia Military Institute and was quickly called off to go to war, and he was one of the first to fly the Ford-produced Liberator. So I'm very honored to have that line of history with my grandfather flying a Ford-produced airplane. Back in the 40s. So I grew up as a military brat. My dad was an Air Force colonel, and I decided to go a little bit of a different path and go Army, but don't look back. I love every day that I spent in the Army. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well, you picked up your bachelor's degree at the University of Central Florida, and I believe you went through the ROTC program.
I did. I did spend a little time at the Air Force Academy and decided that wasn't my route. And I did go through Army ROTC. I had a scholarship. And after I graduated from UCF, I was selected by the Army to become a combat engineer in the Army. And I was actually one of the first female Congress. The year that I entered, Congress decided that they were going to open up that combat military occupational specialty to female officers. So I was selected as the first combat engineer to take over an all-male engineer unit in Germany.
And that was in Germany dealing with assault float bridge engineering units. Is that, do I have that right?
That's right. So I was very fortunate to have a 55-man unit in Germany. I was the first female officer to be in charge of them. And we built what's called the Ribbon Bridge. So basically it was a bridge or a pontoon boat that we used to move our tanks on to get across bodies of water. So it was a great job.
And all of our Navy listeners here on Veterans Radio are wondering why the hell you would put a bridge across a body of water. You're supposed to just sail the ship up it. And our and our Air Force friends are going, bridges are only good to bomb. So this is a we don't get to talk to many Army combat engineers and who are bridge builders. But from there, you went on. Tell us a little bit more about your military career.
Absolutely. So I later on in my career decided to switch path and became what's called Adjutant General Corps, which is the personnel side of the Army. And I had some wonderful experience. My favorite assignment of all was being stationed up by the DMZ up in Korea. I absolutely, that was my favorite assignment. I spent 2 years in Korea. And definitely best experience ever being overseas in Korea. And I had a really exciting job over there, again, working with personnel in 2ID, Second Infantry Division. Then I moved on to 8th Army in Seoul. And from there, I went moved on to the 101st Airborne Division, which is my dream job. I spent many, many years in the 101st at Fort Campbell. I was a Screaming Eagle. Many of you, I'm sure many of your listeners know about Screaming Eagle.
Absolutely.
And deployed from there to Afghanistan. And like I said, one of the best chapters of my life is being in the 101st Airborne Division. Very proud. My husband also, he's also a 22-year a retired lieutenant colonel, Black Hawk pilot. So we have many years together serving our country in the 101st.
Well, it's a common story that, you know, military service is often a family affair. In your instance, grandfather, father, you, husband. Unfortunately, so many people in the country don't know anybody who's served and don't understand what the rigors are of military service, and you have probably have a unique perspective, having been over in a rotation over to Afghanistan. And I should frame this for folks: you were in from 1992 to 2015 during that service, so you saw the post 9/11 period. Tell us a little bit about those last few years in your service. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, like you had mentioned, you know, it's less than 1% of our nation actually serve. So it's a very small portion that actually go and serve our nation. But, you know, I was raised in my family that you are going to go and do some time in the military. And I'm so thankful that my parents raised me that way. But definitely it became tough when you start having children and you're dual military, because it's a matter of, you know, whose career is more important, you know, who's going to watch the kids. And I'm very fortunate that I left my first son with my parents to basically raise him for 2 years when I was in Korea. And, you know, those were times, he was 9-10 years old. Those are times when a kid really needs his parent. And I'm very fortunate my parents were able to step up and raise him for me. But it was hard as a parent coming back to him. You know, he was not happy that I left him for 2 years and then moved on. A few years later, I'm in the 101st. And at a time when we were doing 14 to 18 month deployments back to back. So my husband and I deployed together to Afghanistan, but in different locations. And we had to once again push our children off to different family members to watch. So it was a hard time to manage being where my husband and I were in top leadership positions in the military and also managing your family.
Yeah, well, the folks we know who have had to do that, and those folks who, you know, are told, hey, yeah, I've got a plan for what happens with the kids. But
it's a piece of paper.
Yeah, it is just a piece of paper. It does not go that smooth generally. And yeah. The kids, you know, their reaction is that of a teenager or a youngster who doesn't really understand why mom and dad are doing this. And we're now in an age where there are more women in the military than ever before. This is a problem for military readiness, and you probably saw that as you were concluding your career.
Well, absolutely. And my story, you know, I'm very fortunate that my story was picked up. Congressman Mike Turner from Ohio contacted me to work through my case when I went off to combat and came back and was told that my child was not my child anymore. And I had full custody of him. And all I did was go off to combat. And so I was very fortunate that CBS News and Congressman Turner, you know, took on my story to help me help other service members not go through what I had to go through. I spent around $45,000 in court and legal fees in 1 year fighting for a child that I had full custody of since he was 3 years old. And it was a nasty time in my life of trying to balance my career, deploying, knowing I was deploying again, fighting a court battle when I was stationed in Kentucky, but the court battle was in Florida. My original divorce was in, you know, Colorado. I was very fortunate that Congressman Turner was working with me and CBS News to try and get the Pentagon to realize that, you know, our service members need federal protection. So when we go off to combat, we can come back and not have to fight these state battles for our kids. And so it's
really one of those things that, again, since only 1% of the population is serving, the lawyers, the judges, the system doesn't understand the sacrifices the military member is making, but the rest of the family has to make to support that service. Hopefully, and I think this is where we'll conclude this, can you look back and say, yeah, we're making progress either at the federal legislative level, the DOD policy level, or just how people are approaching this? What have we made the progress, do you think?
Absolutely. And I never went on any of the media outlets wanting to do it for me. I wanted to do it so the next person behind me didn't have to go through what I went through, because as an officer, you know, I was able to afford these lawyer fees, but these young enlisted, they don't have that kind of money to be able to fight these, you know, pay for lawyers and fight these court battles and turn around and have to go back to, you know, to deploy. Absolutely. I believe that after my case closed out after a year of being on national news, it definitely changed the stand of the Pentagon, realizing that we needed some type of, federal protection for our service members. And fortunately, we don't have as many service members deployed right now. I think we have about 165,000 deployed. You know, deployments have slowed down. So it's not as much in the news right now, but I do think we've made progress.
Yeah, the tempo and the numbers have probably dampened the problem a little bit, but hopefully we've made progress so it doesn't continue. Let me move to one final area I wanted to talk to, and we're talking to Colonel Vanessa Benson, U.S. Army retired after 23 years. Because after you retire after 23 years, and you've been out for five, so I mean it's not like 100 years ago, you know, there's a whole transition situation that goes on, isn't there? Not, we've just talked about the transition with the family, but professionally, there's this whole transition of, well, what do I do now? I don't have to get up in the morning. I don't put the same uniform on. You know, the same folks aren't there. Talk to us about the lessons you've learned about transitioning from the military to civilian service.
Absolutely. I have been very fortunate that I was hired on originally by Ford Motor Company to go out and recruit our military mechanics to become technicians at our Ford dealerships. And, you know, one of the really neat things that I was very excited about helping our military service members was I worked with all the military branches to get the curriculum of a military mechanic and bring that over to Ford and say, hey, give them some constructive credit for what they've done on, you know, working on tanks or working on a helicopter or working on a Humvee. So what our service members need to realize is just because you were a mechanic in the military, it does not translate to being able to walk into a dealership and be paid at some level of, you know, say you've been working on as a mechanic for 20 years. You know, a lot of it is our military needs to recognize is that, you know, there are certifications that the civilian side is looking for. And so I am glad that I was able to help in that effort with our military. And I think a lot of our military, because I spent my first year working with Ford of going to job fairs and recruiting military to come work over on the civilian side at these dealerships. And I think that our military doesn't start out early enough. Some of these young men and women will show up and I'm getting out in 3 months where they should be starting a year out looking for a job. And they really need to network and having a really good resume put together. And I noticed that a lot of these young men and women don't have that. You know, they just, they're not prepared for that. They're starting too late.
Well, it's sort of foreign to them, right? That everything's been laid out for however many years they've been in. And if you were in college, you'd be thinking about starting your job hunt a year ahead of time, but you don't think that way in the military. That's great advice to start earlier. Mm-hmm. And similarly in networking, you know, if you've spent 4 or 6 years in the military, your network is just the military.
I tell you what, I know this COVID time has changed stuff, but I spent almost 2 years with Ford Motor Company going around to these job fairs at the bases. And I'm telling you, these job fairs are amazing. The companies and the people that they bring to these job fairs, the military, this is where they need to be going to find their civilian job, because these companies, we take it seriously when we go to these military bases for these job fairs and trying to find a really good service member to move on into our companies.
And so, your last point was they need a resume. And again, that's something that they just don't have, you know, any need for or call for in their military service, but it's so important.
Exactly. And that, like you had mentioned, networking and LinkedIn is really big right now. And a great way that I saw when I was at these job fairs is, are you on LinkedIn? That was one of the, you know, a lot of these people, are you on LinkedIn? You know, having a professional LinkedIn page is very important.
Well, these are the kind of lessons we like to pass along to our veteran radio listeners, because maybe they can pass them along to their nieces, nephews, sons, daughters, friends, and say, hey, I heard Colonel Benson. Mm-hmm. She told you to do this, and you better do it. She knows what she's talking about.
And your listeners should know that Military Times produces a Best for Vet Employer list every year. And there's usually 100 to 150 companies on that list. And you take a look at these lists. You could find this list on the internet. And again, start with these companies. These are companies that really care about our military and veterans.
Well,
it's the Military Times Best for Vet Employer.
Well, we appreciate the time you've spent with us on Veterans Radio today. Colonel Vanessa Benson, retired from the U.S. Army, now the Ford Motor Ambassador, Military Ambassador. Thanks for telling us about the honor program, the Proud to Honor, FordProudToHonor.com, and giving us a little background on your experience and life lessons. Mm-hmm.
Jim, thank you from the bottom of my heart for having me. I look forward to seeing your hashtag Proud to Honor out there. And a big salute to our 18 million veterans in the U.S. that helped carry the torch of freedom. Happy Veterans Day.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.